Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am profoundly and deeply grateful, humbled to the nth degree that you are listening to me at this very important juncture as we look at truth today on this April 21st day, 2019. We're going to be looking at what the meaning is of truth in our life. And as Jack Nicholson said, you can't take the truth. Well, he's probably pretty right. And we're going to be looking at the difference between truth and fantasy in our life. And a lot of people don't know the difference. So maybe we can kind of clear the air a little bit. I want to remind you that this radio program, our TV programs, everything we do on Aspire, my work at hospice, everything I do is made possible by your contributions, your tax-deductible gifts, your sponsorship. Without your sponsorship, I could not have the honor and the privilege of helping people as I do. And I hope that those of you who are listening to this radio program and find it helpful, and I know you do because you write me. You know, you have questions, things that are on your mind. I hope that you will become a sponsor and help us sustain our program. I am not an aggressive or ambitious kind of guy. I just want to serve you. So it's not about growing the radio program or the TV programs. It's about offering them, and you have to find them. It's amazing that you found this program. It's amazing that you recognize what it is, let's say, on the website as you view the many TV programs that I've done. And it's amazing that you and I are together. That is an ultimate truth, and it is only made possible because of you, of your kindness and your compassion to see exactly what it is I'm up to here, what I'm trying to do, and how I'm trying to serve humankind and you. So I hope you will become a sponsor. If you go to the website at aspire.org, down at the bottom, you will see why support Aspire. And if you click on that, it will answer, hopefully, all of your questions about what it means to support Aspire, why it is important, what we do with your donation and your tax-deductible gift. And on top of all of that, what you will receive for your donation each and every month, you will receive a copy of my message of the month, which is tailor-made to a subject that I am doing for the month and coincides with my discourses and all the other things I do each and every month. Each has a subject pertaining to your spiritual awakening. It's all there for you. It's kind of like a home study course, as it were. You'll also receive the ability to read my commentaries, podcasts, video casts. They're very, very special. And there are only four people who are fairly serious about their spiritual awakening and their process of spirituality. They're not always easy to read because they say a lot of things that people don't want to hear that get in the way of their life. And so somebody's got to say it, and I guess it's me. And then, of course, you have access to over 120 of my TV discourses absolutely free, from, you know, what is the point of it all to nobody likes you anyway, to passing through the fires, the Beatitudes, all of those, the Eightfold Path of Buddha, all of those things are available to you. The sound of one hand clapping, there are so many, and all of them are made to help you, to serve you, and hopefully to help you along. And maybe I can help you a little further. Truth. This is an interesting concept, truth. And if you look it up in the dictionary, they bumble and stumble over it. They just basically have a really hard time with defining what truth is. The quality or state of being true. Well, what? What is that? That which is true or in accordance with fact or reality. Well, who's to say what reality is and fact? Well, there are facts, but I wouldn't call facts truth because facts change. A fact or belief that is accepted as true. Well, That could be anything. That could be gossip for, you know, I really have a hard time. You can't define the truth because it is always changing. It is a living thing. It's a living entity that lives inside the heart of love that lives in each and every one of us. And it's very hard for people to understand this because we are so literal-minded and we miss the meaning of our life so easily. So here is the first question from Karen. She does not tell me where she lives. Is not the truth relative to our own beliefs? I have my beliefs that I feel are true, and that is my truth. Is it not, Karen? Well, Karen, you can make anything the truth if it's relative to your mental acuity. I can say anything and say that is the truth. So that doesn't make it the truth. Yes, it is relative to our beliefs, our genetics, our DNA, our mental acuity. It is relative to all those things. And the reason it is because we think of truth as something that is absolute. Americans are absolutists. They want to be absolute. I have found this to be true. I just finished an interesting article about Americans wanting a dictator, a benevolent dictator. They want an authority that will just tell them what to do so they can run through their life, they'll pay their taxes, and not be a part of any kind of significant social change. They just want to be comfortable, not bothered by government too much. They want government to protect them, to give them their inalienable rights of truth and liberty or whatever. It's all a bunch of garbage. We are lazy and incompetent, and that's what our government has made us, and that is what our society has made us, and that is now the culture of us. So where are you going to find the truth, the real truth? Jack Nicholson was right. You don't want the truth. You can't handle the truth. And he was right. The average person can't handle it. They don't want to be bothered. They have their little life, their little routine that they live by, that they live for, and they just want to go along to get along and maybe slide into death and find a soft place to land. And that's where people are. That's what they do. And that's what it's all about. So if that is your truth and you're relative to that, which I would imagine you're saying that you are, there's the issue. And in that issue, in that inability to understand the way the truth and the light of you, you will never really find the truth. You will only find what is relative to your mental acumen, your mental strategy, how you're going to live. And it has a lot to do with being emotionally comfort. We live in avoidance. We live for the comfort of having an emotional, shall we say, state of being where we are in the Shangri-La, shall we say, of our gratuitous attitudes about life and living. We want the body gratified at all times. It's why we eat so much and we have become overweight, and diabetes is all over the place. It's not only inherited, it's created, and it goes on and on and on and on. And it isn't that we're bad or evil. We're not. We're lazy and we're not informed, and when we are informed, we don't like what we hear. So when we don't like what we hear, we just ignore it and make that our truth. So you ask me, is not truth relative to our beliefs? Well, you can have a belief about anything. Who cares about what I believe in, Karen, or what you believe in? What if what you and I believe in isn't true, or isn't even barely factual, or maybe it's obsolete? And it doesn't pertain to the world we live in at this current time. What if? What if? What if? Most people just don't get it. They don't have the character inside of them, that character to understand or even be relative or, shall we say, tolerant enough to accept or entertain something that has nothing to do with how they think, the way they think, and what they think. We are prejudiced not only at the level of racism, but we're prejudiced about our religious beliefs, our own political beliefs, our own thoughts. They're all about what I can get, what I want, how I get what I want, all that stuff over and over and over and over again. It does not end. This prejudice is all about me, 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 my selfishness, my arrogance, my self-righteousness, and when that meets my self-preservation, when self-righteousness and and the whole idea of self-preservation meet together in some place inside of me, bingo! That's the honeypot, and it makes a mess of our life and makes a mess of me and you, and it turns us into, what we've turned into. So there you are. It's all about that which does not exist. So, Karen, I don't agree with you about truth. I really don't. The ultimate truth takes character to live out. You have to find it in your heart. You have to find it in your being. And then you have to have the character, the ability to live it out no matter what. We've seen this kind of character in Socrates, in Jesus, in Mahatma Gandhi. You know, we've seen it. We've seen what happens even in the Kennedy boys. Dr. Martin Luther King, we saw it in him. And it is not favored in our society or in our culture. There's no place for it. So when we see someone like that, even Anwar Sadat was very courageous and very, very kind. He saw the way, the truth, and the light of how to bring peace to the Middle East, and they killed him. So it is not a popular idea. It is not something that the person who was wrapped around their genetic nature and entangled in the DNA of their own survival can really understand. And that's why we have religion and politics, so people can screw around with that. There you are, Karen. Hope you'll forgive me. Namaste. I don't do well with these things, I guess. People don't like what I have to say. Don't think she's going to be a sponsor. All right, the next one is Tom, and he is from Colorado. My truth is what I can believe in. That's all I know. Are you saying there are other truths? And if I can't believe in them, are they still truths, Tom? Yes, they're still truths. Just because you can't believe in them, what is your belief? Do you hear this theme going on? Belief makes truth. You can believe, you know, that turtles can fly. And though they don't and they can't and you've never seen one fly, you can imagine a turtle flying. And then you can say, well, I believe in that. This is really, really a difficult subject for people. What do I believe in? You know, really, who cares what Greg Penn believes in? Who cares what Tom believes in? Who cares? You're a number. You're a marketing thing. You know, you're a possession that is looked at from the higher ups of Wall Street and Madison Avenue, and they look at you and they think, well, what does this person need that they don't know they need? That was the whole thing about Steve Jobs. You know, he knew what would sell. He knew how to make what people needed and made them want it. And he discovered how to do that, and it opened up Pandora's box. I'm not opposed to my iPhone. I have an iPhone. But the obsession, the compulsion of most people with their phones, always looking at it, always trying to see if they're wanted, loved, appreciated, or starting arguments. And there's all sorts of things that people do which are really ugly. And this is something that just goes on and on and on in humankind. Is that what you believe in? Do you believe that, you know, in hate and fear? Do you believe in vengeance, pride? Most people do. You say something to someone, it better appeal to their pride. It better appeal to that whole idea of what they can think, their mental acuity. If you go past their mental acuity, you lost them, and then they hate you because you make them feel stupid. That's what I've been told. I've seen it myself, even in my own life, my own blundering teachings here. Yeah. And it doesn't do good for anyone. It doesn't help anyone. Anything that is truly authentic will not sit well in the ego. It will not. So how much should we be flattering this ego? How much should we be living in this ego? How much should ego tell us is our self-importance or is important to us in any way, shape, or form? The ego is the voice of my genetic nature. All those thousands and thousands of people that live inside my body, and they're all looking to my DNA to help me survive, to make me survive, and to make me ruthless in my survival. And as long as I continue to do this, where is going to be the truth, the real truth, the truth that only comes from the heart? There is only one truth that I know, and that is love. And Jesus talked about it in his own way when he said, God is love. Buddha would not use the word God, and I understand why, because it opens up all sorts of beliefs about why things happen the way they do. People live very strange lives. I am always accused, always, of living the same life that my students do. People think, you know, I think the way they do. I go through what they go through. I live the life they live, and I don't. My students don't do hospice. My students don't get up at 2 a.m. to meditate. That my students don't, start work at 3 a.m. in the morning. They think my work, my life is just like theirs. It isn't. It isn't even remotely. But we like to think everybody, well, you're like me. We're all the same. We're not all the same. And that's one of the truths. Love is realized as we mature past the assumption that we love, the assumption of other people, the assumption of thought. And we assume a great deal and we just say, well, that's the truth. It isn't. There are facts and there are truths. A fact is changeable. A fact is here for a while and then it becomes obsolete. There is nothing wrong with a fact. The fact of your life is this. When you were younger, you had certain elements of life that you lived, certain truths. Then as you got older and your body started to change and coincide with the collective unconscious and be submitted to all sorts of dangers, both orally, environmentally, and mentally, here we are. The fact changed, and the truth is you're subject to all of that. That's the basic truth. But even that can change if you learn how to live your life from an authentic spiritual practice. Even that will change. Things will change and move in a different direction. Then nothing is the same. Nothing is the way I thought it to be. But you have to have some zeal in you. Some ability to feel what is the truth and what is fact and what is real and what is not real. Reality is a dangerous and slippery slope for people. And the more we get involved in it, thinking that we know what reality is, the less available we become for love and the ultimate truth. There's an old Zen saying that I love very much. And it is true. It is about looking at life from the point of view, only don't know. I don't know. I don't know anything, and I don't want to know anything. In that one way of looking at things, not a philosophy or a religion. In that one way of realizing the posture of my mind, only don't know, I come to realize everything as it is. And that is a very sad thing for people, because they want to think they know. Look how the world has changed. Who knew? Please forgive me. Thank you, Tom. Namaste. I don't think any of these people are going to be sponsors. All right, the last one from Kelly. Kelly does not tell me where he or she lives. What is the most important truth of all, in your opinion, Greg? Kelly. Well, it's not my opinion I'd ever give you. I have too much respect for my audience to just give you my opinion. And when I do something that stupid, I ask you to forgive me. I always tell you this is a Greg Penn opinion, okay? With no truth whatsoever attached to it. I always say that. I can only say to you the greatest truth I have ever known is what Jesus said, God is love. It brings me to my knees. It is so heartfelt. And it's so simple. It is all about love, just love. Not the love of Greg Penn and not the love of Kelly. Just love. Love that is not attached to emotionality. Love that is not attached to fear and anger. Just love. It's very hard for people to understand that. We need promises of love. We need the promise that if we love, we get this, we get that. This won't happen, that won't happen. We need a lot of promises. So for me, God is love, or just love itself, whatever you want to call it, opens up all the other truths and doors. And remember, they're only truths for here and now, where we are in this world. But as we pass into other dimensions, both spiritually and biologically, all of that is up for grabs. I don't know what happens after that, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you I do, because I don't. I have an inkling of where I've been, and I only can understand that part of it. There is far more to this world, this life, this living, than what Greg Penn can think. And I work very diligently within myself to transcend Greg Penn. So I don't have any words to tell you about the things that I know that I can't express to you through this radio program or through words. It just isn't going to happen, because the universe does not work on thought. It is a place of no mind, a mind no longer weighing thought, right and wrong, good and bad. And that's all our thoughts do. They're all about good and bad, right and wrong. And if you work on it, if you observe your thoughts, you'll abandon them quickly, because you'll see they don't go anywhere. They don't do anything but confuse our situation and complicate our life to such a degree that we make a hell out of it. We really do. So maybe it would be a better idea, when you are meditating, if you do meditate, Kelly, which I highly doubt you do, because most people don't, that you focus on emptiness. And I know that one's hard too. What is emptiness? Who wants to be empty? The whole essence of this world is to be empty. If you are empty, you will see it all. You will recognize it all. Emptiness, believe it or not, is a tone. It is a texture. And it lives everywhere around you and all through you. I gotta go. I'm running out of time here. Kelly, I hope that helped you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, we did it. Another weekend. I hope the program helped you, and I'm grateful for your ears, and may all of this serve you well. I'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me. Namaste.